Yes. Okay. Now, you have to excuse my voice. Got a bit of a cold. How are you, Andy? It's all right. Yes, please, if you can. Okay, mobile phone switched off. So what we're going to do today, first of all, we'll do a recap, because it was 2 weeks ago since we last met. So we'll do a recap, just bringing us all up to speed. And then we'll go through the homework. You know, we discuss about that. And then from there, we'll look at our topic of discussion and learning today. Okay. So, let's first of all do a recap on what we learnt last week. I'll just do an overview. So the first thing that we talked about was what's the problem? Are we all set? Okay. So the first thing we did was that we looked at the problem. You know, what is actually the problem? And we opened it up for a discussion, and we talked about the circumstances that we're in the Western world. I mean, let me actually ask you guys, so that can you remember what we talked about when we said, okay, so what's the problem? About compartmentalizing our lives, where there's work on one side and then there's kind of like church life on another side. Who else can remember what we what we talked about?
The progress, the evolution of work.
The evolution, yeah.
There was very community-based agriculture, and it's grown into a very, you know, you could spend your day now without talking to anybody. You shop online. You can work online.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yes, we talked about the change, the evolution of how work has changed, and we in the Western world is brick and mortar. We're in the information age, as Koch has just said. You know, you can see in front of your computer. It's a lot more about knowledge worker. You know. Okay, anything else that came up?
Work for church and work for our work. Like working for church, you think it's more difficult.
Yeah, we talked about the hierarchy, the silent kind of spiritual hierarchy of, you know, if you end up working for your church, then you've reached the height of spirituality. You've become, you know, this is real work. This is godly work. Everything else is secular, and we talked about that as well. Okay, and then what were some of the biblical principles that we then began to draw out when we look at the biblical? When we looked in at Genesis, what was the key thing that we found when we studied Genesis 2 and then Genesis 3?
God intended work, and He intended work to be good.
Yes, exactly.
The toil came in after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all right. Do you want to say something? That was it. Okay. Yeah. That work. You know, God. The institution of work started before the fall of man. You know, so work is a good thing, because everything that God created, you know, was good, isn't it? So. It's only after the fall that it became, you know, the curse and the toil and sweat to accomplish. So we then find out that from a biblical perspective, you know, work is part of God's plan. And if we're not looking at it from in the garden, then we have a problem, isn't it? Because you can, you know, when I go to, you know, you think of there's a time where there won't be any work. Well, we can't really say that, because work was always part of God's plan, even before the fall of man. Okay, and then we then began to look at the purpose of work. And so this is, you know, who would like to give some feedback on that or some of the things that we identified as a model, not the model, but as a model in terms of purpose of work. Sorry, so I didn't hear that. About worship. Yeah, anybody else? Yes, yes. Any other comments? Provision, yeah, obviously provision. Yeah? Sorry? Character forming, yeah. You know, that work is, you know, our work is also to help us develop our character. You know, we looked at worship, we looked at service. That, you know, our work is an act of service, and obviously provision. But then the second to the last page, we then drew a diagram that, you know, if we were to put worship as the foundation, you know, that if we look at, you know, also a means of how we serve people, and we become an example in that sphere, and then we also see as part of our character development, and obviously then providing that. If you look at it from that perspective, and then when we now look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which was, you know, the baseline is that man's immediate needs are, you know, biological and physiological, then safety, then, you know, belonging, esteem. Then we then said, so what can we see there as a contrast? And what were some of the things that we were able to pull out?
Well, provision is the foundation for Maslow, but provision is not the purpose of the top.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's kind of the other way around, isn't it? Yeah, you know, because, and then we said, you know, when Jesus in Matthew 6 talked about seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know, obviously he's talking about, you know, the pagans make provision the be-all and end-all. And I think even when we ask the question, what's the purpose of work? Somebody say, hey, to pay my bills, you know. And that's right, you know. But when we look at it, but then when you're sitting from that perspective, then the issue of God's picture is very narrow. You know, you can't, it's like, as long as my bills are being paid, then that's it. But then when we said that, so what about if you won the lottery, or there's this old, no, not the lottery, if this old auntie, you know, you win this inheritance, you get this inheritance, you have £1 million now, you know, then what would you do? Then all of a sudden you find out that, okay, that means I need to shift the picture, it needs to be bigger, 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 bigger. And so this picture actually, you know, just helps us to see that the reason why I feel like, you know, many of us are challenged when we read Matthew 6 is because Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God, which is the height of spirituality, is that you go in on that level and then everything else will be provided. So it takes faith, you know, but then the average man obviously thinks first, as long as I can eat and then I can progress and then I can think about spiritual things. That's a normal thing, isn't it? So I think having that picture in mind is helpful for us as we, you know, approach this whole issue of work, is that, you know, we're going to work to worship, to serve, to model, to develop our character, and God will provide, you know, and but we'll talk about the other aspect of Maslow's needs, you know, later on. Okay, and then we ended up with some homework, and so let's get some feedback on that. The questions were just three simple questions. What phrase best represents the majority of your thinking towards work? You know, why have you felt that way? Write out a brief explanation of how each of these God-ordained purposes is accomplished through your work, and then which of the purposes of work come most naturally to you and which are more of a challenge. So who would like to just share, you know, briefly, or maybe on this exercise? Anybody? Yes, Andy.
I personally feel my work most of the time is a blessing. I think part of that's what I do, and that kind of fact, I feel it helps society. I think helps. You've got a job where it's difficult to see that connection, that probably makes it harder to see it as a potential blessing. But I certainly feel I'm blessed in the job I have and the people I work with, which is another aspect, I think, as well. And the opportunities that are there, and I've made the most of those, but there's certainly blessings there. That said, on occasions, there's certainly times when work's challenging, hard, not enjoyable, and it can feel like the curse, but I think the majority of the time, I see it as a blessing side.
Yeah, okay. Good, excellent. Anybody else?
I'd say my job is a blend of the two. Because on the one hand, I think of miracles worked through doctors and surgery and stuff. And then on the other hand, it's so demanding. We're understaffed. You know, there's a potential for working 7 days a week, 24/7. And that pressure that is exerted to kind of comply with what the bosses want is very difficult. In many ways, I feel like the NHS has lost its humanity and it's become task and
targets focused,
rather than,
and they've lost the meaning.
But it's lost the humanity in a way, and even the way, you know, kind of because you're under so much pressure to meet targets, it doesn't give you the time to just hang a second. This is a person here with feelings, with their own issues. So for me, it's a blessing and a curse.
Okay, now, I mean, just before you, I just want to, you know, from obviously you're working in nursing, and I understand what you mean, I think, because I've discussed with some people and they've talked about targets and all. And it's amazing how the reason why it was started off loses loses the meaning, because they now think, oh, as long as we're hitting these numbers, you know, everything's taken care of. But the funny thing is that the whole issue of NHS would not have existed if it's not for Christianity. Because nursing started through Christians.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? You know, so we can't expect it to be the right way because it's no longer being run by Christians. So that's something to really think about. But next week, we'll talk more about the reason why we're going through this process to really understand the bigger picture of things. But anyway.
It can be a blessing in that, you know, we help people with we help charities and also small businesses, we help them and we help them with their marketing and so forth, you know. So in that way, you can think it's a blessing in a way. Also, quite a lot of people from the agencies and all that. So I'm not kind of a blessing.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that's excellent. Fantastic. Okay. Let's have one more person on this side. Either of them, whether one, two, or three, that you want to just share your answer to. Yeah, okay.
That's
the natural part, yeah.
Prodigy is natural because service is it's not natural for me because I'm number one. My world, we all have to think of ourselves as number one.
Okay.
Because if we do anything to harm ourselves, it's our responsibility.
Mm.
So we as number one, and then our colleagues maybe number two.
Okay.
So
so there's a bit of a conflict in there. Okay.
The rest is natural, the character. I'm very friendly at work.
Mm.
Sometimes I said, why so many of you? If I go upstairs, come down back in the kitchen, everyone is angry. What do you want? Nothing. They just angry. Mm. Why? So how long have you been here? So, okay. I'm very friendly at work. So that's the only thing I find challenging is the service day.
Okay.
And more than I set the example.
Mm. Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, obviously the different situations we're all in, sometimes we might naturally, I think most people naturally see work as a means of provision, but maybe an area of character development, you might not. You know, you might not see that your reason for going through this work at this stage in your life is that God is trying to shape something in your character, and so you're like, this is just challenging, you know. And so if you're not looking at it from the right perspective of taking it, it is painful, whatever it is, but if you can see it from God's perspective, that, well, this is going to help you at the end of the day, you know. And I think that's the, you know, but thank you for sharing that. Okay, so I'm sure, you know, all of you must have answers to those questions, hopefully. But let's move on this week now to our topic, of what we're going to be looking at. Okay, what we're going to be looking at today, lesson two, is the four areas of focus in your work life. And the goal is, with this lesson, is that by the time you finish, or we go through this class, whenever it comes to how do I develop myself, what are the areas I need to focus on, when it comes to work and always or keep the balance, you know, these are the four things that I believe that if you always, you know, look at them, you can always get the answer of what needs to be worked on. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so if you just, so you can add this to your booklets. Oh, your pamphlets. Should be 5 pages here. There you go. So we're just going to take it one page at a time. Because I want this session to be a lot more interactive. And I want us to do something called, you know, what is it, experience learning, where the more you actually interact and answer questions, it's been proved that you actually learn a lot. It's been proved that you actually learn a lot more when you answer questions and you're interacting than when you're just simply listening to somebody talk and say, this is point A, point B, point C. So that's why that's the reason why if we take one page at a time, because some of the answers that I've put are on the page, but it might be good if we first of all discuss some of the answers first before turning there, okay? So the first thing we're looking at is we're looking for a role model in the Bible. Obviously, the whole purpose of the class is to understand biblical principles for work. That's obviously the purpose. And so in looking for somebody in the scriptures who we can use as a role model, that, you know, his life was very fruitful. I mean, there are many people that we can study. You can look at Joseph, you can look at Daniel, you know, you can look in the New Testament, you can look at Paul. There are different people that we can study out. But one of the characters in the Bible that really had a fruitful life, even from the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament, was still used, his name came up a lot, you know, is David. You know, David definitely stands out. And in Acts chapter 3, 13, it shows that, you know, David, it reads that he was a man after God's own heart. And he served God's purpose in his own generation, Acts 13. And so his life, if we study, you find out that he actually reveals a lot of timeless biblical principles that we can learn from. And so if we turn our Bibles to Psalm, well, it's actually there on the sheet, but sometimes it's good to look at it in your own Bible as well. Psalm 78 gives us a snapshot or a summary in a few sentences of the life of David. And in Psalm 78, verse 70, it starts off and it says, it's talking about David, and it says that he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them. And there's a lot in that passage that reveals why David was a man who, even today, people, you know, he's still being used as an example. Even though, you know, we did a class for the men on Friday and we looked at David again, and we found out that, you know, he was a murderer and an adulterer. I mean, you know, his track record wasn't all smooth. But there were a few things that we can learn from his life of why even, you know, Jesus was called Son of David. And so, when it comes to our work life, from this passage, there are a few things that we can pull out from it. You know, that verse 70 starts off by saying, you know, he chose David. And it was very clear that God called David for a specific plan or agenda in his life. You know, he was called. There's no doubt about that. David was called. The second thing that we see from that passage is it talks about that, you know, it's funny because David was a shepherd at the time of his calling, and that was his job. But then we then begin to see how that job he had, or his role at that stage, actually became a bigger. He became a shepherd of people. So you can see how, you know, if we look at things from a bigger picture, the job that you're doing, who knows? Maybe it's for something else. But having that if you don't have that perspective, you know, you're not going to see the bigger picture, isn't it? I'm just a shepherd. What more do you want from me? You know, not knowing that there's a bigger plan. You know, and he uses that same role to say he now shepherded God's people. Very interesting. But then it was also how he did it. He did it with integrity. You know, and that obviously reveals David's character. And that was one of the things that we identified even on Friday when we talked about David. That, you know, his character was one that was willing, when he finally was caught out, he owned up. You know, but it shows character there. The other aspect it mentions in this passage, he didn't just do it with integrity, because you can have integrity, but that does not mean that you're skillful. You know, and he says in that passage, with skillful hands. You know, with skillful hands. And if anybody has played any instrument, you know that there is a clear distinction when somebody is playing it with integrity, because they read the note and ba, 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 ba. Yeah, okay, all right. But when somebody plays it skillfully, it's a big difference, isn't it? It's a big difference. You know, and so we'll look at that as well. And then the whole aspect, the whole summary of everything there, you know, it says he chose David as his servant. And so David was basically a servant of God. So whatever he did was out of service. So we're going to break this down, and we're going to now look at these four areas and see how it relates to our work, and how we can see this with a bigger picture. So we're going to look at it in terms of how your calling shapes your work, character matters, and how to build it, God is important to skill, as skill is important to God. And then we're going to talk about serving 360 degrees. So this is what we'll focus on for this lesson. Now, before you turn the page, let's have an open discussion on this, on the question of what is calling. I know I did two sermons trying to cover that, but let's just open it up. You know, what do you think? What is calling? It's a deep question.
Do you mean God's calling to us, or do you mean what is our job calling us to do?
Ah, you see.
And they should work hand in hand, in that God's calling us to serve, God's calling us to be wholehearted in our work, God's calling us to be wholehearted in our relationship with Him, God's calling us to be 100% committed. And, you know, so there's kind of might be a conflict there between what God's calling is in terms of being Christian and what our calling is at work.
Okay, that's well. It's great that you bring that up even now, because should there?
Well, the first thing that springs to mind is conflict and schedule.
Okay.
You know, that's the issue. Often it is a conflict of schedule. As I was saying, I could work 24/7, 365. But that wouldn't be God's calling, because it would mean I'd neglect my family and my relationship with God.
Okay. Okay, I get where you're going. Maybe we'll come back to that on a more deeper level. But yeah, let's just open it up. You know, what is calling? Yeah?
Okay. It's a strong desire that God puts on your heart. For example, I feel like my calling is to represent
and make a difference. Yeah, okay. Amen. Okay, that's a great example there. Yes.
God's purpose for us, and us being in tune with God's purpose and in tune with God in what we do. Because what we do every day is very significant.
Yes.
And so being aware and seeking, if you like, to understand what is it that I...
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? One more person. Yeah, Andy?
I just thought about this one. That's the big things in life that you thought, well, this is it, this is the big stuff. But I think, well, what questions? Nothing struck a chord, because all big things sort of in the distance, and yeah, you might be working towards it, but every day God's got a calling for you and a plan to get both of those. In some way, you've got a big agenda, but at the same time, you've got today's calling as well. I think a balance I need to probably get.
Yeah, a balance, okay. Yeah, Alan, you wanted to mention?
My calling is the sum total of everything you people want to do, yeah. With your life, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you know, let's turn the page, and this is an answer to that. I wouldn't say it's the answer, you know, but it is an answer. As you can see, it's a calling is God's personal invitation for me to work on His agenda, using the talents I've been given in ways that are eternally significant. Okay, so, and that in a way answers all the questions. I mean, all the answers that we got, which is, you know, what birth is something that, you know, God has put on my heart to do. And then again, still on the day-to-day activities. And there's a passage that isn't in your notes, but if you look at Colossians chapter 1, for instance, Colossians chapter 1. Okay, sorry, it's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Paul is writing, and I think I shared this when I did a lesson on this, that, you know, Paul, when he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, says in verse 18, Ephesians 1 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So I think from a spiritual perspective, you know, once you become a Christian, the next thing that you're seeking is your calling, you know, finding your place in God's plan. But there will be a problem if you yourself didn't know that plan. You know, it's like, you know, you look at a jigsaw puzzle, you've got a few pieces, but if you don't know the big picture, you wouldn't know where to fit those pieces, isn't it? You know, because it doesn't make sense. And so it's important first that we, you know, even from this definition, you know, God has called me to work on his agenda. So we need to ask the question, what is God's agenda? Before we even think about, you know, our calling. What is God's agenda? So let's look at a few scriptures that we've got there. Let's look at the scriptures below asking what's God's agenda. So who would like to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, please? Yes, Rob, thanks.
You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again?
Okay, thank you. And somebody can read Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria.
Okay, thank you. And then Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Okay, thank you. So looking at these scriptures, you know, what is God's agenda? Looking at from the perspective of those scriptures, okay, I'm not saying that this is, you know, everything, but what can we derive as part of God's agenda? That's part, well, I mean, there's part of it there. Advancing. It's interesting you use the word influence. You know, because at the end of the day, if we all agree that you can't control people, I hope we all agree on that. You can't control anybody. I mean, you can't even, you know, little Tyra can't be controlled. You know, we can only influence people. And I think, you know, it's interesting, Rob, that you use that word in particular. But if we now, you know, see that as God's agenda, which is to advance God's kingdom, you know, the Lord's Prayer is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, they're not that, you know, it's not that complicated, really, isn't it? God just wants to expand his kingdom, you know, and I think that's on the top of his list, is that every generation is contributing towards the advancement of God's kingdom. For that was the very purpose why Jesus came. Yes, to seek and save those that are lost, but also he said he's taking us to another place. You know, I mean, it's all about his kingdom, isn't it? To establish the kingdom. So, when we look at this part of you know, God's agenda, and then we look, go back again to the meaning of calling, you know, how does that affect our roles in terms of our jobs?
It will determine. I mean, there would be some jobs we wouldn't do. The top priority would be whether it pays the most. You know, I think you would not choose a job based on getting the most money. But looking at how I can fulfill my my role in this world.
Yeah.
So there'd be some jobs even a Christian couldn't do.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Anybody else? How you know, knowing now, you know, very clearly in terms of God's agenda. Anybody else? Sorry?
Would probably influence how you interact with your colleagues. And, you know, I mean, I don't know that I have much of an impact on a patient that I see for 5 minutes before the operation, but my colleagues that I see all the time. I mean, you know, someone even said it recently, you know, that, you know, this something, some interaction we had, and she said, you know what, it really changed the way I think. And I thought, wow, you know, and I, you know, it influenced how she dealt with the particular situation and how she would deal with it in the future. I was kind of, very encouraged by that, because you don't always get the feedback, and you don't always get not the credit, that's not what we're here for. But you don't always get to know.
The impact that it's having. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all you can do is have consistency and have integrity, that respect. You know, you do
bounce
off people, and let's hope it's for the
good. Okay, thank you
for that. Yeah, Rob. Things help me to look at opportunities and see that there's certain times where I can really go into things or throw myself into something. Work, I think, is an opportunity to